I remember in 2008, in January, I received a word from the Lord, something really simple, which was, Sonika, I want you to keep it simple this year. Okay, that was my simple word for 2008. But it changed my life in the sense that it was the platform and the foundation of that whole year. Because I knew what God wanted to tell me was, don't start 20 new things this year, but whatever you do, keep it simple, focus on me, and do it with all your heart. Whatever you are busy doing, just keep on doing that and do it with all of your heart. Don't start a lot of new things. That was what it meant to me. And I think 2008 was probably one of the years that brought the most change in my life, even though God said keep it simple. But that was exactly the reason I believe he said why I should keep it simple. I fell pregnant that year for the first time with my firstborn, which was a major change in my life. It was also in terms of my work situation, my last year at a company where I started in 1999. So it was a period of 10 years which came to an end. It was also the year in which we felt God wanted us to come to East London, to move from Cape Town, and to come to East London to pastor this church that at that stage was just a handful of people, I think one or two small groups at that stage. But the keep it simple word for me was so significant because it really helped me to end my year in Stellenbosch and in Cape Town. It helped me to end it in the right way. I think it was probably my most successful year at work for many different reasons, but I knew God spoke to me so clearly at the beginning of the year. Sonika, keep it simple. And I really pray that whatever I'm going to share this morning will give you direction for this year in some other way, that whatever you need for 2013, that somehow you will get a word or a thought or just a message from this morning that will mean something to you. Amen? So I just want to pray, and then we'll get going. Father, I consecrate to you this morning. I consecrate to you my message, Lord, everything I want to share. I give it to you as an offering, Lord. And I pray whatever you want to highlight in somebody's heart, whatever you want to emphasize, Holy Spirit, that you will do that in Jesus' name, that you will come and speak to every one of us individually this morning and make it real and make it alive. I pray for open hearts, Lord, open hearts to receive from you, because I'm just your messenger, Lord, and I pray that you will just come and have your way in our midst, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take you to a story in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles 20. It's a story of a king called Jehoshaphat. He was the king of Judah at that stage, and he had a big challenge ahead, because some of his officials and his men that worked for him came to him and said, there are a big multitude coming against us. Now, that big multitude was three different nations coming against the nation of Judah to kill them. Okay? That's Braveheart. For those of you who know Braveheart, The Patriot, all those movies, you know, that the guys like. It's this kind of scene. It's now war, but it's now three against one. So there was just no way in which the nation of Judah would be able to conquer three nations. All right, so that was the challenge. Maybe you can think of a challenge that you have. Hopefully it's not three nations coming to kill you. So maybe your challenge, it doesn't look that bad anymore, okay? So how did the king respond? He had a challenge. How did he respond? Let's go to verse 3. I'm going to take you through the whole chapter of Chronicles. Just some verses I want to highlight. Then Jehoshaphat feared. Now, maybe not for you, but for me, this is really good news that the king also feared. I think often we feel like a failure when we are afraid or when we fear. But it's actually a quite human and natural response to fear. So fear in itself is not a problem. It's what we do with that. Okay? So don't feel bad or condemn yourself or feel that you are a bad Christian when fear comes. Because it comes for all of us in different ways. And it's what we do with it. And Jehoshaphat feared. And what did he do? He set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So he did two things. He set himself to seek God. And the second thing is he proclaimed a fast through all Judah. Now, I want you to think about your response to fear. You know, some of us sleep more. Some of us sleep less. Some of us eat more. Some of us eat less. Whatever your response to fear is, I really believe with all of my heart that this king, Jehoshaphat, had a secret. He had a key how to respond to fear. I really believe we should also just know when fear comes that seeking the Lord, and he chose fasting, but I mean, God could lead us to pray, can lead us to worship. And as I'm taking you through the story, you'll see that this king used many different tools that God has given us to use when a challenge comes or when fear comes. But this is one of the reasons why we're going to fast this coming weekend. Because we want to do it right. We don't want to just look at 2013 and say, oh, it's going to be a challenging year and it's going to be, there's lots of challenges lying ahead and I don't know what's waiting for me. No, we want to be ready. We want to say, God, we want to come before you as a church group, because all the Shofar churches are fasting together, which I think is so, it's so incredible, you know, to come before God as a group of churches. But this is one of the reasons why we come before God. Okay, let's continue with the story. So Judah gathered together. This is the whole nation of Judah. They gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Okay, so they didn't look at the army. They didn't start counting the horses and the warriors. They said, there's no way in which we can do this on our own. So the whole nation of Judah came together and they started seeking the Lord for an answer because they need a solution. Obviously, who wants to be killed? Okay, who wants to be destroyed forever? Because in those days, one nation would come against another nation, they would kill everything. They would just take all the valuables for themselves, but they kill all the people. So let's go to verse 13, which I believe is a really significant part of the story where they all came together. Verse 13, now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Everybody, their little ones, their wives, their children, stood before the Lord. I believe this is a really, really significant part of this story because everybody came before God. Everyone in that nation, even the children, even the wives, even the wives. I remember, you know, when we were still at Lavender Blue, for those of you who don't know, we moved into this venue at the end of 2010. And before that, we had our services at Lavender Blue. We transformed the coffee shop into a church at 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We had church from 5 until 7 in the evening. So how many of you were still part of that? Okay, not that many. It's a good sign. We have grown since then. But we had no mother's room. We had nothing what we have here. We had no mother's room. I remember Kuba and I. Kuba, where's you? Where are you? At the back, okay. I remember Kuba and I with our babies, okay. Kuba, Michal is 2 months older than Vian, so they literally grew up together with the church. We were at the back of the church with our babies. We had no place to breastfeed. We had no place to do nothing when our babies cried. We just walked out of the building. And, I mean, I think if Andre was not the pastor and he was not my husband, I would probably not have been at church. Okay, Kuba would have been there because she's a super saint, super girl. But I've just realized that even in difficult situations, it's possible. Even though it was difficult, we had no facilities really for a newborn, 2 week, 3 week old baby. But I would have missed out so badly if I didn't go with my baby to church. And I just think coming before God as a family, coming before God even, I mean, I know what it feels to be pregnant. I know what it feels to have a newborn, a baby. I know it's hard to come to church, to go to the small group and all those things. This is one of the reasons why we have a meeting, to just hear your needs and to hear where you're at. But I just want to encourage you to make a decision to come before God as a family, to include your children, to include your wife, and, you know, if you are the husband and you're the head of the home, just to make a quality decision that you as a family, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because there's so much reward in that, to do it as a family. So I just want to encourage you, what we have here is far better than what we had 2 years ago for kids. So I just want to encourage you to do whatever you can to come before God as a family, in spite of maybe a difficult season with small kids. Okay, I just want to encourage you to go for that. All right, so everybody's now in front, not in front, but they're together before the Lord. And now the word, the whole scene was ready for God to speak. Okay, there was fear, but they decided they're going to see God, they're going to proclaim a fast, and everyone was in. The whole nation of Judah came together. So then the word of the Lord came. They were praying, worshiping, seeking the Lord, and then all of a sudden God spoke through one man, and he said, "Do not be afraid nor dismayed." So just picture yourself, okay, it's a huge gathering, they're all praying together, and then all of a sudden, one man stands up, he says, "I have a word from the Lord." He said, "Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it is God's. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Okay, now, just work through this word. It's not spiritual warfare. It's a real battle. Okay, there are people coming against them with weapons. They're going to get killed. It is a real battle. It's not just fighting against the spiritual realm in prayer. This is a real battle. But the word of the Lord came saying, "You do not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Now, I really believe the positioning is also a very significant part of the story, where they had to position themselves in a specific way to fight this battle. They had to position themselves in a specific way. In Psalm 91 verse 4, there's a beautiful scripture that says, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge." There's something about positioning ourselves in the Lord that is not a place where we are going to fight, where it's not a place where we're going to do something in our own strength. It's just a positioning. It's just a place where we just hide under God's wings and where he protects us. I think it's such a beautiful picture of just positioning ourselves in the right place. Psalm 91 starts off with, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And there's something about just positioning ourselves in the shadow of the Almighty that is so safe, that is such a safe place and a place of security, that even if three nations come against you, even if whatever come against you, you can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So I also believe positioning means to come before God as they did, as a nation, everyone together, in prayer, in fasting, and in worshiping the Lord. And this is also one of the reasons why we're going to come together this weekend, because we want to position ourselves in the right way. So I just want to share with you a few things about fasting before the story is not finished, eh? The best part is still to come. We're interrupting the story. We're going to talk about this coming weekend, about positioning ourselves to seek the Lord. I know some of you maybe have never fasted in your life. That's totally fine. There's always a first time. It's always a first time to do anything. But there's a lot of practical things, like Andre shared about just cutting out the caffeine and, you know, making it easier for yourself. Some people jump into a fast and they feel really strong before they jump in the fast because they feel strong. They've eaten the day before. But your mental preparation is actually much more important than your physical preparation, even though the physical preparation is also important. All right. So for all the practical aspects, I'm not going to go through that now. I can keep you busy for 3 hours on practical aspects of fasting. We're going to send you information, okay? And I want to tell you now exactly what we're going to send you. Your personal guide to fasting and prayer by Dr. Bill Bright. Dr. Bill Bright, this is amazing information. You can read through all of it in about 40, 45 minutes. And I want to encourage you to please read through it. Let me tell you, it talks about why are we fasting, how do we fast, your physical preparation, your spiritual preparation, what to expect during the fast, physically and spiritually, and also how to break the fast. Breaking the fast is as important as doing the fast. So I want to encourage you, for all of the practical things, we're going to send you information. Please do yourself a favor and do not go into the fast without reading through those few pages. It's quick, it's easy, it will give you all the information that you need for this weekend. Okay, that's the practical aspects. A few things I want to share with you is what fasting changed in my life. Because I had some difficult fasts in my life, but then I had some amazing fasts that made a huge impact, and this is the ones I want to share with you this morning. The one thing that fasting does for me is it draws me closer to God. Because all of a sudden, if you don't have food to run to or coffee, you have nowhere to go. And if your husband is fasting with you, you know, he's focused on his own, you know, battles in terms of his mind. So you can go pretty much to God if you fast. So what I've experienced is it awakens something in me because I am forced to go to the Lord. I'm hungry, I'm irritable, I don't think I can do this. Okay, God, I need to go to you because I can't go to food. I've actually experienced how easily I go to food. During a fast, I discover how easily I go to food for comfort. How easily I go to food when I'm happy, when I'm sad, when I want to celebrate, when I'm depressed. Whatever kind of emotion I experience, I often just include food. And that I discover when I fast. So it draws me closer to God because I have nowhere else to go. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So if those emotions come that you actually need a cup of coffee right now, otherwise you're going to die, run to the Lord. Okay? Run to the Lord. And in the first minute or two, you're not really going to want to spend time with God because you're just depressed because you can't make coffee. But just persevere. It will draw you closer to the Lord. It's a powerful tool to draw you closer to God. It strengthens my faith when I fast. And it humbles me because I know there's just no way in which I can do this on my own. I remember one time in 2006, God led me to do a 7-day water fast. Okay, this is not something I do all the time. It was my one and only 7-day water fast in my life. So don't at all feel inferior to me. I'm not Mrs. Fasting at all. God led me to do a 7-day water fast. It was, I can't remember, relatively early in the year, and I felt I must do it at the end of the year. Okay, so I had many months to wrestle with God. Many months to really feel sorry for myself and to cry and to say to God, I'm not going to survive it, I'm going to die, and can't do it. And You know, in the end, I did it. I did the 7-day water fast. Andre decided, okay, he's joining me. Good husband. Supporting me. His poor wife can't just drink water on her own for 7 days, and he eats burgers and stuff. So he said, okay, I'm in. So I still don't know how I did it. And that is exactly the point. You know, I said to God, there's no way in which I can only drink water for 7 days and go to work. I still had to go to work. I had my normal routine, my normal day. And the other problem was, at that stage, I went through a time when I got really sick when I fasted. For some reason, I got very nauseous. I got really sick. Went through a stage in my life. So I said to God, there's just no way. I wouldn't be able to work. I wouldn't be able to do what I need to do. And I just, God didn't let me go. He didn't let me off the hook. I just knew I must do this because He wants to show me something. And after that 7-day water fast, I felt as if I could do anything with God. I felt I can go climb Mount Everest now because I've just done a 7-day water fast, not in my own strength, but God did it. He wanted to show me something. He wanted to show me that if I put my trust in Him, if I come to my end, if I come to the end of myself and really admit that I can't do it, then He will step in and do it for me. He will keep me standing, help me to do everything I had to do. And it just strengthened my faith in such a way that I was, you know, like David said, with God I can leap over a wall. That is how I felt. I can do anything with God. So I just want to encourage you. It's not always easy, but that is the point. The point is we can't do it. The point is we are designed to eat, okay? But the point is our spirits are also designed to get spiritual food from the Father. And our bodies are also designed to fast. Even though it's designed to eat, it's also designed to not collapse when we fast. God designed us to be able to fast. So don't fear it. It's something to look forward to because it will strengthen your faith. It brings back self-control in my eating habits. And it gives me an appetite for healthy foods. Now, for me, this is quite significant because it will really do for you what no diet can do. It will do for you what no diet can do. Not that you fast to diet, because the weight you lose when you fast, you will pick up like this again. Okay, so the idea of a fast is never to lose weight. But what happens is it breaks negative cycles, negative eating habit cycles in your body. You start craving healthy food, and God can do something really supernatural in terms of self-control. I've experienced it many, 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 many times when I fast. Now, I'm going to tell you a story that happened to Lisa Bevere. She's the wife of John Bevere. They're both writing a lot of books, they're international speakers and authors. And she had a battled with an eating disorder since high school. She was on and off diets her whole life. And 3 weeks before her wedding day, she went to fit a dress. And a dress was already bought. It was done, all finished. She couldn't fit into a dress. It was quite a bad situation. It was not just a little bit not getting into the dress. It was, I can't get into it at all. Okay, so it was a big disaster. She didn't realize, she was on holiday, and she didn't realize that she's just eating and eating, but she's battling with this thing for years. Now, it's 3 weeks before her wedding day. Her parents bought the dress. I mean, for those of you who are getting married or are married, you'll know how much a wedding dress costs. It's not just something you can quickly go and get a new one. So now she has a dilemma. And for the first time in her life, she was confronted with the real issue of making an idol of this whole thing. It's a story for another time, but God led her to do a 3-day water fast with a bit of juice, exactly what we're going to do this weekend. And so she said, okay, God, I'm desperate. I'm fasting for 3 days. And During those 3 days, God did something amazing in our hearts. It was, she didn't even focus on her weight. She decided she's not going to weigh herself again until the day before her wedding day. She's not even going to try on the dress again before the day of her wedding day, which is a big risk. But it was God's way of dealing with a real issue. And for 3 days, they had such, she and God had such intimacy and just special times together. And after the fast, God started teaching her how to deal with food. She literally said to God, okay, Lord, when should I stop eating? And God said, okay, now. So she had 3 weeks to sort out her weight, which is not a lot of time if it's a crisis. But in the end, it all worked out fine, okay? For those of you, I know you're stressing now about the dress and the wedding day. She fitted into the dress perfectly after 3 weeks, but that was not what the whole thing was all about. It was about breaking a stronghold in her life that she's been battling with for years. And I'm not saying fasting is the answer for all our problems, but in her situation, it was a word from the Lord. And she was obedient, and God used that to break a cycle in her life. Okay, so in my life, every time when I fast and when I fast right and when I break the fast right, my self-control is back when it comes to my eating habits. Okay, it could be out of the door as well, depending on how you see food afterwards, but that's also a story for another day. So it can do for you what no diet can do. All right, it is an amazing tool that God gives to us to bring back self-control in our eating habits. It also helps me when I'm confused or when life seems out of control. I remember in my first year of working, it was quite a challenging year for me. In about June, July, I wrote down 10 things that was completely out of control. I had no control over it. Many, many different things in my life. Studies, work, relationships, at work, lots of things. Okay, 10 things about. And I said to God, Lord, I have no idea how to deal with this. And I felt God speaking to me. Now, let me just explain how God normally speaks to us, for those of you who don't understand. It's not an audible voice. It's not an angel. It's just a thought. It's literally like a thought coming into your head. And we need to discern when is it your own thought and when is it God speaking. So it's like a thought. It's like a thought popping into your head. Do a 3-day fast. Okay? This is how God speaks. We just need to recognize his voice. So I felt God saying to me by popping a thought into my head, do a 3-day liquid fast. Praise God, not a water fast, liquid. So I could drink juice and liquids. And the moment I say to God, I'm in, I'm doing this, the most amazing peace filled my heart. I can't explain it better. It was just as if those 10 things on the list, it didn't bother me anymore. Even though nothing was solved, I just knew God saying to me, do a 3-day fast and I will sort it out. You just do the 3-day fast, focus on me, get back your peace, leave all those things to me. Everything. I did it. I did the fast. I had so much peace. I said to God, okay, Lord, it's your baby, the list. I forget about it. I still have that list in my journal. And everything sorted out. It literally, it's not as if fasting can twist God's arm. It's not what I'm saying. It's just it brings us to a place of peace and trust and hope where we can let go often about things that bugs us. So these are highlights in my life that fasting did. So I really want to encourage you to not see it as, oh, I'm going to starve for 3 days. What is this church doing to me? I must maybe look for another church that doesn't believe in fasting. It's a blessing. It's a real, real blessing. And if you've never done it before, if you're scared, King Jehoshaphat was also scared. So scared is fine. Just go for it. Just do it afraid. Do it afraid and put your trust in the Lord and see how he comes through for you. Okay, back to the story. It was just like a break in the story. Back to the story. the word of the Lord came saying, do nothing. Do nothing. Three nations coming against you with weapons, but do nothing. God will sort it out. Now they need to act upon the word of God. It's not logical. It's far from logical. But they decided, good, they're going to do it. King Jehoshaphat, he spoke to his leaders. They had a leaders' meeting, and they decided they're going to put the musicians in front, the poor musicians. Okay, I can just imagine the guitarist in front, and the army's coming. Shame. I think the musicians, they feared the most. But, okay, they decided musicians in front, singers, and what happened? I'm just checking if I can tell you now, because I have a plan here. Yeah, you can know. You are allowed to know now. They were defeated. The three nations started fighting against one another. I mean, what is the odds? They started killing one another. And the musicians had a good time worshiping God, the whole nation of Judah. They had a good time when they began to sing and to praise. The Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah. What is the odds? I mean, nobody's going to make a movie of this, eh? Because it's just, it's not logical to act upon the word of God, but it's very effective. It's very effective because God knows. I mean, they didn't stand a chance in any case. So they might as well risk not doing anything because, you know, fighting and losing, what's the point? So they act upon the word of God, and the enemy was defeated. And I wanna highlight something for you, because maybe you think now, what was the secret? What was the secret of this whole battle that they won? Was it the fasting? Is fasting now the new secret? Was it the prayer? Was it the musicians in front? Is worship and pray, or worship and praise, now the solution for everything? Is it because they all came together as one? I believe all of those things are important, but the one thing I want to highlight to you is this, verse 12. Let's look at this. I believe that was the secret for their victory over the fear, over the darkness, and over this challenge. Joseph had said, verse 12, for we have no power, speaking to God, we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. He said, God, I have no plan B. I do not know what to do. My eyes are upon you. I look to you for an answer. I believe that was the core, it was the foundation, it was, everything was built around that. The fast, the prayer, the word of God that came, everything, that was the foundation. That he said, I'm not going to look to anything else, God, I'm going to look to you. I'm not going to have a plan B, I'm not going to call upon another nation to come and help. I'm not going to do anything like that. I'm going to fix my eyes on you. Let's look at Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Well-known scripture that says, let us run with endurance the race that he set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That looking, that word looking, if you go to the root word, it means undivided attention. It signifies undivided attention, looking away from all distractions and having eyes for no one but Jesus. So you deliberately turn away from distractions and you fix our eyes on Jesus. You don't look at all the distractions and all the problems and like fixing your eyes like a little bit on Jesus. No, you have eyes for nothing but Jesus. You turn away from everything that is a challenge, that is a problem, that is a crisis, that you are afraid of. And you say, God, I can't deal with this, but you can. I look to you. This is what they did. With all of their hearts. I remember when I joined Andre in ministry 3 years ago, about a year after I joined him, I said to God, Lord, I don't know about this, you know, church, and I mean, I'm very, very passionate about church, and I know what God has been doing in many people's lives. But at that stage, I remember a week or so where I said, God, I see breakthrough in one person's life, and then I hear about 20 or 10, 20 other people whose lives are falling apart. It was for me as if we don't move forward. It literally felt to me as if we move one step forward and 20 steps back. Oh, because I just noticed so much darkness. I was so overwhelmed. I was so overwhelmed with problems and crises and many, many things that I don't know what to do with it. And I remember God saying to me, again, just a thought, okay? This is how God speaks to us. He said to me, Sonika, the only way to deal with darkness and problems in people's lives is to take your eyes off the darkness and to fix it on the light of the world, which is Jesus. I had to take off my eyes, take it off the darkness, and deliberately fix it on Jesus. I couldn't fix my eyes on any recipe. We can have many recipes, you know, fasting, prayer, worship, unity. You know, we can have all this lingo, and this is the key, and all of those things are important. I'm not saying it's not. But I believe the foundation to overcome darkness and fear and a challenge is to take your eyes off the darkness and to say, God, please deal with it. I fix my eyes on you. I fix my eyes on you. And unfortunately, the media does not help. The media does not help. It constantly fixes our eyes on the bad. I mean, news, we hardly hear good news, eh? It's news or normally bad news in terms of the media because it's exciting, I suppose. I don't know. But we can't just casually take our eyes off darkness and fix it on God. We can't just do it casually. It's not just going to happen automatically. We need to deliberately take our eyes off the darkness, off everything in the newspaper, all the disasters and the everything that's happening in the country and all over the world, and say, God, I fix my eyes on you. So how do we do that practically? Just practically, I know all of you think, great idea, but how do I do that? How do we fix our eyes on Jesus? First of all, we remind ourselves of who God is, who He is, and what He has done for us. You go back to who is God. So we need to go back to the Word of God. Who is God? So even if everything around you tells you that God is not faithful, He's not caring, He's not in control, He doesn't care, He is not love, then you remind yourself, no, the truth is, He is love, He is caring, He is in control, He is faithful. So that is our starting point, okay? We can't give over to the lies that God is not faithful and not good and not caring. Okay, this is the first lie that the devil brings. We need to say, no way, my God, the God I know and the God I serve, He is caring, He is faithful. And you choose to believe it with your head. Okay, this is where we start. So how do we get it from our head to our heart? Because this is the important thing. First thing, you go back, you revisit what God has done for you in the past. The monuments, remember the stones, for those of you who were here when Janko preached about that last year? We go back to our stones. We go back to our monuments that we've built. We go back to every time that God came through for us. And we say, I'm fixing my eyes on this. I'm not fixing my eyes on the problem right now. I'm fixing my eyes on all the times in the past when I was also stressed and worried and fearful. And I look what God did for me. We go back to what God did for us. We go back and we revisit the words that God spoke over your life. We had a weekend last year, well, two Monday evenings and a weekend, where we have spoken words over one another, where God used most of you powerfully to speak a word into somebody else's life that was life-changing. I went back to my words over the holiday, and there was one specific word actually that Rion gave me when we were praying in a group, and it just became alive. It was awesome when he spoke that word at that time, but all of a sudden, God showed me so many other things, and that word became alive. And it's something I can hold on to. So whenever I don't see what that word, or I don't see the effect of that word in my life, I can literally go back to the holiday and to instances where I literally felt the effect of that word on my life. So go back, revisit, go through it again, read through your words again. And whether you see it or not at this stage, you fix your eyes on that word. You fix your eyes on that word, whether you see the result, the effect, the truth, the end result or not. You make a decision to fix your eyes on that. The third thing, you meditate and you memorize on just a few scriptures. We don't have to know the whole Bible. So if you can't memorize the whole book of Genesis, don't stress. It's really okay. Even Leviticus. I know most of you know Leviticus off by heart, but for those of you don't stress. Okay. You get yourself five scriptures or so. Like Psalm 46 verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Can we learn it quickly? Okay. Say it with me. Be still and know that I am God. There you know one scripture. Psalm 46 verse 10 is just half of the scripture, but you can say you know a scripture. Whenever disaster comes, whenever anything comes for you, we fix our eyes on the Lord by knowing one scripture. It's really enough. Or five. If you know one, you can know five. And let me tell you, this is often the way also God speaks to me. He pops a scripture in my mind. He just pops it in there. I didn't go back to the Bible. I didn't even think about it. I've memorized it. So now I'm in a situation, I'm stressed, and all of a sudden, there's a thought, be still and know that I'm God. And immediately, my eyes are fixed upon God because he spoke to me, because I've known a scripture. Okay, back to the story, and then one more story, then I'm done. Jehoshaphat was scared, okay? He was scared. There were three nations coming against him. But because he fixed his eyes on the Lord, because he said, God, I have eyes for no one except you, he could position himself in such a way that he could hear God's voice, act upon it, act upon a word that was not logical, and have an amazing, amazing rewards by defeating three nations without doing anything. And in the process, yes, God helped him to use the tools, worship, fasting, pray, all of those things, because it's tools God gives into our hands. But in isolation, if we put our faith in fasting, it's not going to help. Our faith is not in fasting. You can fast for 40 days if you want. But if you're going to put your faith in that, it's not going to make any difference. Our faith is in Jesus. Our faith is in a God for whom nothing is impossible. And all of these things are just tools that he gives to us, and we just need to act upon a word when it comes. All right, let me give you the grand finale of this story. Verse 25. This is the best, okay? I'm keeping the best for last. Verse 25. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, okay, they've defeated three nations, okay? There's lots of things they can take. They found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies. Okay, don't picture anything now. Spare yourself that. An abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry which they stripped off for themselves. It sounds terrible, eh? But this is what they did in the Old Testament. More than they could carry away, and they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there were so much. 3 days. For 3 days, they're just picking up jewelry and valuables. I mean, 3 days. It was a whole nation of people picking up valuables, and for 3 days. And I just believe God can really turn something that's a real challenge, a real big mountain that makes you fearful. He cannot only make it fine and make everything fine. He can actually use that mountain or that challenge to bless you. And I just want to prove my point, because I know some of you think I'm talking nonsense about God turning something into, you know, a challenge into something beautiful. It's my last story, then I'm done. My sister and her husband, they went through a very difficult time last year, since May. My brother-in-law just started passing out, randomly. Passing out, okay? Lights out. For about, say, 10 seconds, and then, well, not really. He would wake up. The moment he would fall on the ground. But it was quite a dangerous situation, because it happened 13 times in 5 months. Okay, so it's quite a few times. They said to him, he can't drive anymore, it's too dangerous. So it was a big thing in their family. His dad died of a heart attack in his early 50s. So they had a lot of fear coming over them that he might die. He might die of a heart attack. So they did many scans, brain scans, heart scans, many, many different tests. They couldn't figure out what was going on. In the end, they decided to put a monitor close to his heart, basically to monitor what happens when he faints. And the monitor in the end indicated that he needs a pacemaker. Okay? I still can't understand why they couldn't figure it out earlier, but in any case, 5 months later, they put in a pacemaker for him, and problem solved. You know, it's almost like King Jehoshaphat having 3 nations coming against him. They were defeated. Problem solved. Let's go on with our lives. In the meantime, my sister obviously went through a very, very difficult time. They've got 3 kids. So she had to deal with the thought or the possibility that she could be left with 3 kids on her own, especially because his dad died of a heart attack. So it's almost like this fear coming for them. So God is so faithful. God spoke to her, not with a thought, but in a different way. He showed her, let me just check, he showed her 10 rainbows in 2 weeks. I mean, I can't even remember when last I saw a rainbow. But I remember she phoned me and she said, "Sonika, I'm seeing rainbows everywhere, all the time." And she said to me, she knew God was speaking to her. It's like a promise God gave her that everything is going to be okay. So it was relatively in the beginning of these 5 months that God showed her the rainbows. So it was something she had to hold on until the end. Now, after 100,000 rands of medical expenses, which the medical aid paid for, praise God, that was the other big thing that God helped them with, God reminded my sister about a policy, a life insurance policy that they have, that in the fine print said, whenever they need to get a pacemaker, the policy will pay out 25% of the amount. And it was lots of forms. Everybody said to her, it doesn't really make sense that the insurance company will do that. You must be at least not capable of working or something. But this is what the fine print says, and she said she's going to go for it, okay? Lots of forms, completed everything, send it in, and the insurance company paid out 62,000 rand for them. Now, this is not the best part of the story, but this is almost like the 3-day spoil that the nation of Judah could gather. It was a challenge. They fixed their eyes on the Lord, and God, in the end, not only defeated the enemy, blessed them. And for my sister, I really believe she fixed her eyes on the Lord. He spoke to her with those rainbows. She fixed her eyes on Jesus. And the insurance company paid out that amount, and they've just bought in this week, they bought themselves a car, a 2011 Toyota Corolla at a very good price. They've never had a car of their own. They have three kids. They've driven in my grandfather's old 1980 Jetta for a long time. The last couple of years, my dad gave them his old Volkswagen Chico that was also kind of falling apart. And it was their biggest desire just to have a car. And now this whole thing made it possible for them to just this week, bought a car for their family, everything that they were looking for. And, you know, I just know this is the God that we serve. This is the God that we serve. We serve a God who is not only able to fix a problem for us, he's also able to bless us, to actually use something really bad and to turn it around as a blessing. And I just want to hold it before you for this year and for this weekend. Nothing is too big for the Lord. Nothing is too big for God. And even in the midst of a huge challenge, God is able to comfort you. He's able to speak to you. He's able to give you direction. He's able to calm all your fears and to say, I am in control. It doesn't look like I'm in control, but I am. Just fix your eyes on me.